Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
If I say these two words, the Bible, a whole array of images, experiences, preconceptions, understanding comes to probably most of our minds, although more and more kids today wouldn't know what on earth I was talking about. To some, the Bible is a religious book. To others, it's irrelevant, even misguided. But for many, it's the source of faith, hope, inspiration, encouragement, truth, life. Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, a respected Indian philosopher and author of The Book That Made Your World, says the Bible shaped the very foundations of Western civilization, giving us values like human rights, justice, compassion, morality, and much, much more. And he says much of the Western world, Europe and the US in particular, are in strife because they've ditched the Bible. Dr. Mangalwadi is visiting Australia, and I'm honoured that he joins us tonight in the Open House studio. Doctor, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you in. Thank you so much for coming in. Your book tracks so much of what we take, I think, for granted in the West. Concepts mm-hmm. like truth, mm-hmm. hope, science, education, freedom, literature, art, even architecture. How can it be, as you claim, that all of that comes from one book?
Well, much more.
Yes.
Why does Australia have a prime minister as its leader? Why not a king? What does prime minister mean? It means first servant, prime minister. Why should a servant be the ruler of a nation? The idea began in Jerusalem when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he took on the robes of his servant, took a basin of water and started washing the feet of his disciples. And he said that, I am initiating a new kingdom. Whoever wants to be the great must become a servant. Once England understood that, a political revolution began through which the kings of England began to lose their powers. Servants began to increase their power. The first servant became the most important office, and he ruled not with a battalion of soldiers or policemen, but with a battalion of civil servants. That's a Christian idea. You give up Jesus, you have no reasons for servants to be ruling you.
And therein lays the roots of our democracy.
Absolutely. Yeah. That the power should be accountable to people. That right should rule and not the might. These are biblical ideas.
Science, education, literature, art.
The only reason you have the science, the ultimate reason, is the first commandment, first of the Ten Commandments, which is saying that you must know the truth, you must believe the truth, don't believe what is false, don't worship false gods. So the idea that the human mind can know the truth because the mind is created in God's image and that we are responsible to seek the truth is a biblical idea because Jesus is the truth. And as Apostle John writes, that the law came through Moses, truth and grace came through Jesus. And so the whole question of truth, which is what science is all about, university is all about, education is all about, that the Greco-Roman culture, the classical culture, was based on myths. My culture, India, was based on myths. But you should have everything based on truth. You should know truth about history and about psychology and economics. This is what the university is all about. And the university was invented by the church because the church is committed to seeking truth, believing truth.
And yet, and even especially in many universities, truth is so up for grabs. It's everybody else's truth.
Well, the humanities, liberal arts, no longer believes in truth. There is no secular professor anywhere in the world who believes that the human mind can know the truth. So, in fact, what has happened is that liberal arts departments in the universities, they have become means of propaganda and power play. So, in fact, just this semester, England, the government has stopped funding or minimized funding liberal arts departments, because if there is no history now, there is feminist history and gay history and Aboriginal history and black history and this history and that history. There's no history because it's not interest in truth. It's interest in the group.
Yes.
Power.
And my truth is as good as your truth.
If so, why should the taxpayer be funding if the history, literature departments or history departments or sociology departments are departments of propaganda where different groups are seeking to influence and have power? Why should the taxpayer pay for it? So the governments are now interested only in hard sciences, technical subjects. The taxpayer must pay to produce workers for the billionaire companies.
Interesting insight. You say that the Bible makes the West a thinking civilization. How and why did that distinguish the West from other cultures?
Well, because God sent a fax from heaven. It came with so much energy that Moses had to print it on tablets of stones. If God has given a text to illiterate slaves who had just come out of Egypt,
yes,
then they have to become literate. They have to learn to read because God has written a text. And God says that you must make copies of it. So you have to learn to write. So synagogue becomes the place where you learn to read and write. Like in India, we have lots of carpenters. Every village has a carpenter. Carpenter's job is to make plows. He doesn't need to read and learn how to read and how to write. But a Jewish carpenter, which is Jesus, learns to read because God has given a book. So you need to read it. And you have to teach it to your children and teach it to your household. So every Jewish male has to learn to read. Now, once the Christians understood that God has given us his word, therefore literacy is necessary, writing is necessary, and God wants you to meditate upon his law. So that means I have to think about it, cultivate the mind. So Christians became the people of a book. Therefore, they became a thinking civilization. Now, the mass intellectualism in the West developed first out of the Reformation. So the Reformers said, if the Bible is the source of truth, then everybody must read it.
Yes.
But then the Great Awakenings with Jonathan Edwards in America, John Wesley in England, Great Awakenings were when mass intellectualism developed in Europe, in America. Because John Wesley was ministering to workers, you know, ordinary miners, etc., those who never went to church, never went to school.
Yes.
But once they became Christian believers, then he organized them into study groups that you meet together, study the Bible. Now, Bible is a library, it's 66 books. And to interpret Psalms and in the light of Genesis and in the light of Revelation requires a lot of mental exercise.
Yes.
So the grassroots intellectualism in the West came as a result of the Great Awakenings, revivals.
I think coming from your Indian background, I think it gives you a unique Eastern perspective almost on the Western mindset.
Well, I'm grateful for that because it is not normal for Indians to want to learn from other cultures. But I was interested in seeking truth wherever it comes from. So if an atheist has some truthful insights, I want to learn from him. So as an Indian, I want to understand the truth. If the Bible is the source of truth, I want to understand it. And my passion was I was working with the poor in central India, confronting oppression, poverty, injustices, corruption. And the question became, how did the West succeed in building relatively just and free and prosperous society? What can I learn? What can my people learn?
And your answer became?
As I began to explore the secret of Western success, I realized that the Bible was the book that created the modern West, even though secular universities go out of their way to hide that fact or to deny that fact.
So fast forward to today, you have an interesting word picture of the two wings that have held up, as you term it, the American eagle, and perhaps why America, and for that matter Europe, are in the deep trouble that they are in today.
Yes.
Take us through that word picture.
Well, that originates from Michael Novak. He's a Roman Catholic scholar who has written several wonderful books. One of his books is On Two Wings, Humble Faith and Common Sense at America's Founding. He argues that America became the greatest nation on earth, as a Roman Catholic, he's saying, because of two things: humble faith, the Protestant faith in the Bible, and common sense. The common sense party was the American Enlightenment of Jefferson and Thomas Paine and Benjamin Franklin. So there was one party was the party of faith, the other party was common sense.
And they're the two wings of the eagle.
Two wings of the eagle, which yes. helped American Eagle to fly past all other civilizations. Now, what has happened is that the party of common sense, American Enlightenment, hijacked universities which were established by the party of faith, the church. And the common sense party, the university, began to say that faith in the Bible is myth. So the university clipped the first wing of the American Eagle, which was faith in the Bible. But once the Bible was rejected, common sense began to fall apart, because in fact common sense was the myth. There is no such thing as common sense.
Yes.
Common sense in America and in Europe and in Australia was a fruit of the Bible. Like, I have a friend, Indians, doctors in America, they believe marriage should be between one man, one woman. This is common sense. Now, they're not Christians. They're secular Americans. That common sense is marriage should be between one man and one woman. Their college-going children say that our secular parents are bigots because marriage should be between two lovers. What has gender got to do with it? If two women love each other, they should be married. That's common sense for them. So their common sense is created by Hollywood, by university. The parents' common sense, they thought it was common sense. Why should one man have only one wife? Why not four wives? Which has been common sense in most cultures, many cultures, in fact, practically every culture.
For a long time.
So the Western civilization was unique in saying that marriage should be between one man and one woman. It should be a lifelong relationship, no divorce. It should be an exclusive relationship, no mistress, no girlfriend, no second wife. That marriage, a lifelong and exclusive relationship, but between one man and woman, was a peculiarly New Testament idea. So when Australia is talking about legalizing gay marriage, Australia is actually affirming that our law comes from the Bible, because the idea that marriage should be between one man and one woman is not a Muslim idea. Muhammad had 13 wives plus sex slaves and concubines. It's not a Hindu idea. It's not a Buddhist idea. It's not a secular idea. Plato didn't believe in it, and Marx didn't believe in it. Freud didn't believe in it. Hugh Hefner certainly doesn't believe in it. So this was a peculiarly Christian idea, which is part of the law in most of the Western countries, because the West, the soul of the West, was the Bible. But what has happened is, to go back to that word picture, is that the Common Sense Party clipped the wing of faith in the Bible. Then common sense has collapsed, and therefore American Eagle is now a free fall, because it has lost both its wings.
Together with Europe.
Together with Europe. Europe is much worse, and we still talk about capitalism, democracy, but secular capitalism is a very different beast than Christian capitalism. Yeah. Secular democracy is something very different than Christian democracy. So now, if you read the latest Time magazine in America, repeatedly Time magazine is saying that democracy is America's problem. China is winning because China doesn't have democracy. India is saying that. So the days of secular democracy and secular capitalism are numbered, because secular capitalism is a very corrupt system which cannot last.
On Open House across Australia, we're with Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, who's on a tour of Australia at the moment, the respected Indian philosopher and author of The Book That Made Your World. Doctor, have you been comfortable with how you viewed the behaviour and conduct and often the character of the church those who you would hope would propagate that very Bible in the West and in the world. Comfortable with how the church is faring over the last couple of generations?
No, I love the church. I'm committed to the church because church was a brilliant invention of Jesus. Church is the only hope. But the church has gone so wrong that church finds me very uncomfortable. So in fact, my next book that I'm talking with a publisher about is called Why Christianity Lost America. The wrong turns that American evangelicalism and fundamentalism took that have lost America. Now, the loser is not Christ or Christianity. The loser is America. It is losing everything. It's losing its economy, its politics, its education, its family. Loser is the West. But it was wrong turn that American church, European church took theologically, which have been very costly and will hurt the whole world.
When you survey the world, and the West in particular, are you an optimist that somehow, maybe by some miracle, that this tide can be turned back, or maybe pessimistic about the West, and that its success and domination is inexorably fading to make way perhaps for others like China to move into the ascendancy?
Well, I hope that China and India will ascend and will become a blessing to the world. But I believe that a third great awakening in America, a new reformation, is possible, is in fact the only hope. So I'm actually an optimist, even though my video series, Must the Sun Set on the West, will be uploaded on our website this week, revelationmovement.com. The series is called Must the Sun Set on the West, and the website is called revelationmovement.com. This was a lecture series I gave at the University of Minnesota at the invitation of McLaurin Institute, in which I'm saying that the sun is setting on the West, darkness and darkenment is coming because the West has rejected its light, which was the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus.
So how might this third awakening come about?
Well, the reality is that secular humanism, modernism, has ended. Postmodernism has come. So now the West has to choose whether it's going to go back to myth or return to truth. The problem of Western Christianity is that it has branded itself, and the West has branded Christianity, as the party of faith. Secular humanism, modernism, university is branded as the party of truth. Mm. And church has been very naive in allowing this branding, that we are the party of faith, which automatically means this is your private interest, your private story, Christianity. What the gospel says is the law came through Moses, grace and truth came from Jesus. Jesus was born, he said, for this reason I was born, for this purpose I came, to bear witness to the truth. I am the truth. I'll give you the spirit of truth. The church will be witnesses. So Christianity was based on empirical facts of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, observed by 12 witnesses. So they were not philosophers. They were not storytellers. They were not myth makers. They were witnesses. And Christianity was based on truth, but it has very naively allowed itself to be branded as a party of faith.
And somehow the West, in junking all of that, you still are optimistic that this third wave can happen.
Absolutely, because the case that the Bible is the soul of Western civilization, everything collapses once you reject the Bible. It's not just the family collapses. Democracy collapses, capitalism collapses, your law collapses, your compassion collapses, everything collapses because everything in the West did come from the Bible. Your idea of nation, the value of nationalism collapses.
But you can get it back.
You can get it back because there is no other light.
Dr. Vishal Mangalwadi, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a really interesting chat. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me. God bless you and God bless your great nation.
Thank you. Dr. Mangalwadi is the special guest speaker at the National Conference of the Australian Christian Lobby in Canberra this coming weekend. And as we just heard from him, his website is revolutionmovement.com. We'll put the details up on our Open House Community Facebook page.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.